Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We have another student question this morning. And as with all the questions, you know there's background to this. But the question is, what is your opinion about people listening to secular music because they say they aren't truly worshiping when they listen to Christian music in the car or at home? That's the question. Well, that's a wonderful question. I'm glad to get to address that. My opinion doesn't matter nearly as much as what I'm going to try and point out from Scripture. Is it permissible for Christians to listen to secular music? Yes. It is also permissible to eat French fries, okay? It is permissible, but if you have a diet of French fries, you will look like a potato, okay? Now, can you include some French fries in what you eat from time to time? Certainly you may. But that's not a real healthy food. And music has a powerful impact on us beyond what we even tend to recognize most of the time. It is the easiest way to learn things and to memorize them is musically. If I were to ask you to recite the alphabet, over half of you in your head would be thinking, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Because that's how you learned the alphabet. Parents don't sit down with children, if they're good parents, and say, repeat after me. A, B, C, D. I mean, that's just a bummer, okay? We learn it to music. We learn all kinds of things to music. And most of the Scripture that I have memorized in my life, I memorized by having it put to tune. Because there was a melody, I was able to learn the Scriptures much more easily. And so, literally, when I was in college, I led an alternate chapel, it was called. If you didn't want to go to the chapel over there and hear the various sequence of speakers, you could come to the meeting hall at Shepherd Hall, and there Dr. William McDonald would be the adult host, and I would teach the Scriptures put to music. And we sang song after song after song after song, week after week, and that was how tons of us learned a ton of Scriptures. I didn't compose them, I just taught them. Other people had composed them. But what does God say about this stuff? Well, for one thing, whether you're listening to secular music or whether you're listening to Christian music or whether you are eating French fries, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, well, let's back up to verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and following. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive or helpful. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But if some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another man's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So, here's the key. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now let's talk about that. There are some songs that are supposedly Christian songs that are just lousy. They're not only not good musically, but they're bad theology. There was one that was written by a nice guy who's written some good songs. It was popular just as we were starting this ministry. Basically, the recurring theme in this song was, love doesn't count the cost. Now, that's so appealing because it's like, you know, if you really love, you just go ahead and throw yourself in, give your all, etc. But it's a little problematic when Jesus said, you need to count the cost. Before you commit, count the cost. Was Jesus telling us not to walk in love, or did Jesus know more about love than the Christian songwriter? Love does count the cost and then gives. Is that clear? It's not wrong to count the cost. It's something Jesus says we should do. But it was presented in that song because it had a nice emotional feel to it. It's something we shouldn't do. Don't count the cost. Don't count the cost. That's a recipe for disaster. You say, well, Pastor, you're certainly being picky. I think I remember that song and it was pretty. I didn't say it wasn't pretty. I didn't say it wasn't emotionally appealing. I'm just saying it's not biblical. And I think Christian music should be biblical. Just call me old-fashioned. Or call me biblical, if you will. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, you should be doing it for the glory of God. Well, there was a wonderful tune back in the 80s, I think. It may have been the early 90s. By a totally secular group, I don't think any of them were Christians. And the song was a love song celebrating marital loyalty and saying how wonderful it is to still be with your spouse decades later. That was the message of the song. That's a wonderful song. That's a song that a lot of so-called Christian artists should learn from. Because some of the Christian artists have a little trouble being faithful to their spouse decade after decade. Here's a secular song celebrating something God ordained. Guess who invented marriage? It was God's idea. God looked at man and said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep and took from the man's side and made a woman and brought her to the man. Adam was thrilled. It was God's idea. It was God's plan. And so a secular song that celebrates marital love in a godly way may be secular, but it glorifies God. And you can listen to it for the glory of God, and you can sing it for the glory of God. As opposed to, hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Okay, now that's just stupid, okay? Because that's being sung by a person who doesn't know what love is. If we were to make it more accurate, it would be, hello, I lust after you, won't you tell me your name? Okay? That's what that's about. How can you love somebody when you haven't met them before? Well, I thought we were supposed to love everybody. Not like that, you're not. So there are songs that are secular, that are good and biblical and encourage people to think positive, healthy, biblical thoughts. And there are songs that are secular that are very unhelpful. And what I'm suggesting to you is that when you deal with music, you need to be thinking in terms of two things. One is, what are you taking in? And the other, which is going to be influenced by that, is what are you giving out? The Bible tells us, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praises to His name. You should be singing praises to the Lord. That's one of the manifestations of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the people around you. To the Lord. You're supposed to be singing to the Lord. Your life should be filled with song.
Pastor, I'm sorry, but everyone who I've ever sung in front of tells me that I can't carry a tune in a bucket. So I can't see how the Lord would possibly appreciate that.
Well, I would suggest that you then stick with the psalm that says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. You can at least make it joyful even if you have challenges when it comes to pitch, okay?
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The Bible says that our music should be skillful, it should be joyful, it should be giving glory to God, focused on Him, and for His pleasure. The question is not, all right, let's now sing some of the favorites. Of whom? Is it God's favorites we're doing? I can tell you, if you would like to sing God's favorites, you can. It's called the Book of Psalms. God liked those so much, He not only inspired them, He made sure they ended up in the Bible. So if you're like, well, I'd like to sing a song that God likes, well, go to the Book of Psalms and start memorizing the Psalms and singing those to the Lord. Okay? But do it skillfully and do it joyfully. Because it's not just the words that matter. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. We've talked about this before, but look at Acts 16, beginning in verse 16. Acts 16, beginning in verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Now, what was she doing? She was trying to get a recording contract, okay? She was demonstrating enormous vocal potential. She had the ability to be heard at a distance. And what she was saying was true. Is there any theological problem with her lyrics? Take a look. "These men are servants of the Most High God." True or false? Absolutely true. "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Is that what they were doing? Absolutely. Sign her up. Put her on the worship team. I mean, she's even got good lyrics. Yeah, but the spirit that was motivating her was demonic. And let me tell you, sadly, sometimes the spirit that motivates worship leaders is demonic. Because what happens is that they undermine the credibility of the truth they profess. As I said, we've talked about this before, but this is really important. If I were to come and speak to you about the joy of the Lord and how since I gave my life to Christ, I now have peace that, sorry, just a minute, passes understanding, and I just want you to have the same joy that I have. Would you want it? Would that make you say, oh yes, I've been looking for joy and peace? No. And sometimes the songs that are sung, the words don't fit with the spirit that comes through. Last time we talked about this, about the song Lift Jesus Higher, which is a favorite in Pentecostal charismatic circles where I sometimes move in those circles. Yeah, along with high church liturgical and totally evangelical free and uptight reformed people. I move in all kinds of circles, okay? Sometimes people think I'm just moving in circles. But the song Lift Jesus Higher is, again, a scripture taken out of context, misapplied. Because if you think about the words of that song, some of you know it, some of you have sung it. It may be a favorite for some of you, but it's a problem. What the words say is, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Did Jesus say that? Yes, he did. What was he referring to? Well, if you look at the text in the New Testament, it says he said this concerning his manner of death. He was talking about the fact that he was going to be lifted up on a cross, crucified. That's what it says in the text. I'm not making that up. That's not just a matter of interpretation. It's what the text says. So if you take the next verse that comes after the lyric of the song in the Bible, all of a sudden, it doesn't sound like something we ought to be singing in a jolly fashion, does it? If we're talking about Jesus going to the cross, do you really want to be singing, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher? I don't think so. I mean, would you sing, let's crucify him? I don't think so. But that's an example of folks who take a scripture out of context and put it with a tune that doesn't fit at all what the message of God's word is. Well, I think it could have like a double meaning. Well, obviously that's the intention of the song. But let's try to be, here's the word again, biblical. What does God intend by those lyrics? And does the tune fit with that? If every time people come into our church, the impression they get is that we've gathered to mourn someone. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent. Be silent before him. I'm thinking, okay, that's a good idea. Are there times when we should call people to a time of silence? Absolutely. Are there times when we should sing with great seriousness? Absolutely. But you want to be conscious of what you're taking in and conscious of what you're giving out. And what you're going to give out is going to be shaped by what you're taking in. So, can you listen to secular music? Yes, if you'll listen to it. And not just passively let it wash over you. When you're listening to music, whether it's Christian or secular, you ought to be listening and saying, what is that lyric? Is that a good message? What is this doing to me? Yes, you can turn it off and you can change the station. But please understand this, folks. Some classical music is great and actually helps you to think more clearly and feel positive. And John Philip Sousa is not classical music, but it is very hard to be depressed when you're listening to one of Sousa's marches, right? I mean, it just, it makes you want to get up and march. But the Peer Gynt Suite by Grieg, he took old demonic Norwegian songs, ancient songs from before Christianity had reached Norway, and he wove them together into the Peer Gynt Suite. I'm half Norwegian, and that music grabs hold of something down deep inside me and takes me to places I should not go. It is depressing to me. It just pulls me down. I do not rejoice easily when I have been listening to the Peer Gynt Suite. So I stopped listening to it at about age 11. Okay? Because every time that record was playing, I was getting depressed. And I realized, well, that's stupid. That's like discovering you're allergic to olive oil and deciding to have a swig. Just not smart. It's classical music. They teach it in Music Appreciate. Well, it doesn't mean it's beneficial. My grandmother was the steady date of Charles Ives, famous American composer. If you know Charles Ives' music, you know that Charles Ives was a very strange man. One of his most famous compositions was designed to be played by different bands marching toward each other, playing different songs. Okay? And the idea was they would all meet up and they'd be doing four different pieces at once. And you might say, how did he blend them together? He didn't. He had interesting thoughts about music and how we can base the composition not on how it sounds, but on the mathematical formula that it represents. And there's beauty if you're looking at the page. Many of his pieces were never played by anyone, and that was a mercy. But he became a famous American composer, and I said to my grandmother, what did you think of Mr. Ives as a musician? She said, well, Mr. Ives was most definitely the finest accompanist that I ever had, but I never enjoyed his improvisations. The fact that a guy's famous doesn't mean it's good, okay? The person who shot Kennedy is famous doesn't mean it's good. And there's music of all kinds out there, secular and Christian, and you need to honestly, prayerfully evaluate, what does this stir in me? Does this motivate me to give praise to the Lord? Does this feed the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Do I feel more loving and joyful and peaceful as I listen to this? Or does it create encouragement toward rebellion? Because if the music you're listening to moves you in the direction of pride and arrogance or lust or violence, that's not good music. So it's very effective, very talented. It's won Grammys. I'm not talking about good that way. If I were to say to you, this is high quality arsenic. This has been prepared in controlled circumstances in a lab, and you will not find any kale in it. This is arsenic. Well, it may be pure, but it's pure poison. And there is music out there that is pure poison. Whether you're listening to a secular station or a Christian station, be careful what you listen to. Yes, Christians can listen to secular music, but they need to pay attention to the Spirit and the words. And if it doesn't glorify God, it doesn't belong in your life, Christian.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's That's pastorwood.org.